Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another Bircher podcast. This is Evan Mulch, field coordinator for Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina. And I've got with me field coordinator Tom Rice. He covers Ohio, part of Pennsylvania, all of Indiana, and all or most of Michigan, I believe. And he's got one of his members that's going to be part of this podcast. His name is Mike Bordner. And you're going to hear more about what it takes to be a effective Bircher. And so anyways, welcome Mike and Tom. And I'll just sit back and relax and let you two talk. Thanks, guys, for joining.
Thank you, Evan.
And Mike Bordner, for the past decade, has been one of my best chapter leaders in the Midwest. Mike lives in Green Springs, Ohio, which is northern Ohio. And Mike has always been very very diligent. He's been very disciplined, very organized. And Mike's chapter designation, Mike is actually the chapter leader of Chapter 2, KZR, once again in Green Springs, Ohio. And Mike, thanks for being with us.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Tom. Nice to talk to you and Evan again.
And like I said, Mike has always been very disciplined. He's very organized. Mike, over the past 10 years as a chapter leader, has mastered what we call the nuts and bolts and the mechanics of running our meetings properly, especially the chapter meetings. So, Mike, I'll get into some questions, and we want to pick your brain on how you do things. Now, I'm curious, do you hold a monthly John Birch Society chapter meeting?
Yes, we do, and the chapter meeting is the second Thursday of the month, every month. Obviously, in northern Ohio, there are weather concerns. So if we have the sheriff issues a level 2, we don't have a meeting, but we'll continue by phone just to keep in touch with the folks.
And I've noticed, Mike, over the years, I mean, like clockwork, your chapter holds that chapter meeting the second Thursday of each month at 7 p.m. I've always admired this about Mike. I mentioned before, he's very disciplined. Mike is an advocate of starting the meetings promptly. Mike's attitude is don't start late to accommodate somebody who might show up to the meeting. And I know I speak for Mike when I say that, you know, Mike's attitude is by starting late, you punish the people who actually arrived on time. Now, Mike, I'm curious, once again, getting into the nuts and bolts and the mechanics of running a meeting. Prior to the meeting, are you and your chapter leaders, or somebody essentially sending out email reminder messages and phone call reminder messages?
I do that, Tom. And basically, what I do is create an agenda, what the meeting will entail, and we typically will have old business, new business, bulletin. Sometimes if we have new members, there might be a training video, short training video. I try to keep those very short so we can do the business portion. There are some members that don't like computers, so I will call them. But yes, nope. I always get a reminder email. It just seems to, we have 26, I believe, 26 chapter members, so email seems to be the most efficient way to contact everyone.
Well, that's good. You're sending out reminder notices, so to speak. And I was actually at Mike's meeting last Thursday night. I mean, we had so many people in his living room. We were all sort of crunched up and bunched up together. He had that many people in his living room. And, he just added 4 new members to his chapter roster last Thursday night. So Mike is doing really an outstanding job. And once again, the fact, Mike, that you're consistent, the fact that you hold your meetings the second Thursday of each month at 7 o'clock, I know the reminder phone calls are always necessary. You don't want to take a chance on not doing those, but you know, once again, your members know they're meeting the second Thursday of each month at your house at 7 o'clock. That's consistency, and that's what we like. Now, you had mentioned the format you're using as a chapter leader to run your chapter meeting. It is, you had said this is a printed agenda. Is that correct?
Yes, it is printed. I use It's a word processing. It's open office to create everything. And basically the format of it is 1 minute for the pledge, 1 minute for prayer, and 1 minute to welcome people. And then we'll go about 20 minutes for old business. We welcome the visitors and explain the mission, go through the treasury report, and we'll go through last month's homework. Last month's homework I take from another document that I send out after the meeting, explaining to everyone what the homework is for the month, for the upcoming month. And then after that, we'll get into new business about 7:30 or so. And that's when we want everyone to use the agenda, the homework sheet that I send out after the meeting. And then, you know, if we get people together, we try to take care of the business first, but I always allow a little bit of time afterwards. Mary Lou, my wife, is very good at making some snacks for people so we can have an open discussion. And I think people enjoy that too, have a little bit more input. And that's just basically for local politics that aren't part of the agenda, and even sports teams if they want. So that's kind of how we end the meeting.
And Mike, I actually have a copy of your agenda from last Thursday night, and I notice you don't read the bulletin word for word to our members, and we recommend that our chapter leaders not do that. It's rather insulting to the intelligence of our chapter members when a chapter leader does that. And what Mike is doing with the written agenda that I have in front of me as we speak, Mike essentially is reviewing key points of the current John Birch Society bulletin. And something bears repeating concerning the monthly John Birch Society bulletin. Mike and I and all members of the John Birch Society, we're aware of the fact that we simply cannot address every issue that's out there. So what we do in the John Birch Society, we address issues which are of choke point importance. And the two key choke point issues that we always address in the monthly bulletin, and the bulletin itself is written in this spirit, so to speak, the two choke point issues are preserving our national sovereignty and our Constitution. Because if we lose our national sovereignty and we lose the Constitution, folks, the ball game essentially is over. So on those two choke point issues, we were discussing, and the John Birch Society bulletin, once again, is written to preserve our national sovereignty and our Constitution. Mike, when possible, are you trying to give specific assignments to your chapter members at the chapter meeting?
It depends upon what we are doing, Tom. For example, we do the last 6 weeks we've done the Constitution as a Solution series by Mr. Brown. And basically two members have volunteered to handle that. So that's their assignment for the month, in addition to what we decide on at the meeting out of the bulletin. As far as specific items, yes and no. As far as support your local police, we kind of divide it up. We have four law enforcement agencies within in our area here. Actually five, excuse me. And so I asked one or two people from each of those areas to take care of it. For example, one person would go to the Seneca County Sheriff's Office to take literature and a sign over to them. And my brother and I went to the Sandusky County Sheriff's Office. I went to the Clyde Police. Someone else went to the Tiffin Police. Someone went to Fremont Police and also Green Springs. So those are kind of specific to each person. But other than that, when I send out the homework assignments at the end of the month, I expect everyone will probably do those. And if not, they can pick out the ones that they choose to do. And they're usually about, if they write either out of the bulletin or else from the JBS website, the action items.
Sure. And something Mike always does, his chapter members, he'll pass around a chapter report with a clipboard, and the chapter members will simply put a check mark in the box, the activity that they had worked on for for the previous month. Mike is very consistent about submitting and then emailing to me his monthly chapter report. Now, Mike, during a chapter meeting, when you're doing a review of the monthly John Birch Society bulletin, do you allow discussion?
Yes, and particularly if it has to do with any item that we're that's in the bulletin, some discussion is, you know, certainly it can be enlightening. Maybe someone may have questions about, like you say, the nuts and bolts. How do we go about getting these people getting a hold of, say, for example, a congressman, if it's not spelled out there? And obviously, there are other outside issues come up too, so you have to allow some latitude, but you literally can't let it get out of control. It is a business meeting, so and I really try to separate the business meeting from the last part of the meeting too, where it's just like an open forum. For example, the last one, our last meeting was after the election. Well, you know what's on everyone's mind, so it kind of, and I think what we did there is had after the business meeting was over, we had a short video with, help me out, Tom.
Bill Hahn, the CEO of the John Birch Society. Yes.
Thank you. It was Bill Hahn's video. So it was like an 11-minute video, and people really well received. And that's the time for discussion outside the business meeting. Does that kind of answer your question on that, Thomas?
Absolutely. So you're allowing discussion, but you're maintaining control, and you're not letting the meeting evolve into a gap session or a gripe session, which is, you know, exactly the way we need to have the meetings conducted.
Sometimes it's more difficult than others, too. It's like herding cats on occasion, but.
Well, yeah, and you're dealing with strong-willed individualists, so that's perfectly understandable. And I think we have to remember that the John Birch Society chapter meeting is more of a planning session. The work of the John Birch Society is not done during the chapter meeting. The work of the John Birch Society is done outside the chapter meeting, outside of the chapter meeting, in between meetings. But the work of the John Birch Society is not done at a chapter meeting. Mike, let's get into some of the projects and activities that your chapter engages in. Now, have you guys in the past done film series?
Yes, we have a couple of times we have done The Constitution as a Solution, and that seems to be the most popular film series. As far as members, our chapter members, we also went through the training. I believe it was a 5-part training video series also. And I try to at least pick one of those out for new members as we will. And as you say, we got 4 new members recently. So I'll probably at least go through how to build better chapters DVD on that series with them.
That's good. Now, the CONCON issue, the call for an Article 5 convention, is your chapter working in opposition to that?
Yes, we are. We have, and you were kind enough, Tom, to boil that down to us so that we have the members of the, it's the Senate Joint, it's a government and agency review committee with the Ohio Senate. And you were kind enough to give us phone numbers for each of those members, and our members are calling them in opposition, obviously, to an Article 5 convention.
Sure, and we've been very successful in holding that back for the past 2 years. Now, your chapter members on this CONCON issue, are you guys, do you distribute JBS DVDs and JBS reprints trying to create an informed electorate on the danger of the CONCON issue? Are you guys engaging in activities like that?
We absolutely do. And with the COVID shutdowns and things, it makes it a little more difficult because you can't go in, say, for example, a waiting room. We would go into waiting rooms and leave that literature there. We would go to gun shows. We would go to county fairs and have tables there and pass out literature. Well, you know, those things have all been canceled. Now, I will say that, and Robert Brown's been very helpful. We all know our pastor, our local pastor at a Baptist church has been elected to be our representative, our state representative. And he was, I think, under the impression that a Article 5 convention could be contained. And with Mr. Brown's help, I was able to at least have him say, yeah, there could be some danger to it. And I think that was important. And I was very thankful that Robert Brown could help me out with some background material that he had to convince Gary Click that, yeah, if there could possible danger in an Article 5 convention. So when he gets to the State House, he'll obviously remember that.
Oh, that's good. Are you guys working on the Support Your Local Police project?
Yes, we are. One of our members had wanted to start a committee with outside people, and I told him, Jack, if you want to do that, you're more than welcome to. But I think that our committee just consists basically of our members. And what we did, Tom, we ordered 200 Support Your Local Police signs. Don't tell anyone, but they weren't the ones from JBS. We had a printer print these signs up. They were $3 a piece, so we could buy a lot more of them. And those were distributed. We got rid of actually every single one of them. And both the sheriff, we have a sheriff elect in Seneca County, and there was a sheriff in Sandusky County that was not up for re-election. They were very happy to get those. As a matter of fact, when my brother and I took the literature and the sign over to the Sandusky County Sheriff, he followed us out and put the sign in the yard. So I don't know if we're exactly following the protocol that JBS has for the Support Your Local Police Committee, but we are handling it within our chapter.
And I know a couple of other things you guys are doing. The October 5th issue of the New American Magazine, I know I saw some of those on your literature table Thursday night. And you guys also have the Alex Newman, the DVD on the riots. We're recommending really to all of our chapters across the nation, take those educational tools, visit with people who are opinion molders or people who are influential, people who have contact with other influential people in the community. For example, take these educational tools, visit with your state senator, visit with your state representative, visit with your mayor, visit with your city council people, city council members. Like you said, Mike, visit your sheriff, visit your police chief, visit the policeman, the cop who walks a beat. And we need to let these folks know that the world's been turned upside down, and we need to support our local police and not kick them in the teeth and throw them underneath the bus. But getting these educational materials into the hands of these key people and just normal people, rank and file people like all of us, getting the word out, informing people, educating people on the need to support our local police and to keep them independent. Of course, we need to keep them independent because the emphasis of our enemies simply is the formation of a national police force. Like Nazi Germany had the Gestapo, the Soviet Union had the KGB. A national police force is the goal of our enemies, and that is something that we're opposed to. Mike, the Freedom Index, the report card, do your chapter members work on the distribution of the Freedom Project, the Freedom Index?
Yes, absolutely. We typically order new ones when they're available. Obviously, 2019, there was one, I believe it was the December, there was no reprint of it. There were no reason for them, so we didn't get one then. We do have some extras. It's a lot easier to hand them out when there are gun shows and things. And another thing, Tom, that I think that I try to impress upon the members is that our state representative and our state senator should know you by your first name. So when you see them in a Lowe's store or see them at church, they should say, hello, Tom, how are you? As far as the freedom indexes, we do hand them out. Again, because of the COVID restrictions, we don't hand out as many as we did before, just because there's no gathering of people.
Well, that's good. You guys are distributing the Freedom Index. You know, Americans are underwriting financially their own doom. And, you know, about 80% of the annual federal budget is unconstitutional. And how many people really know how, for example, their members of the House of Representatives are voting on the key issues of the day? And we in the John Birch Society, as you know, Mike, we put special emphasis on the House of Representatives for two reasons. Reason number one is they're closer to the American people. Every 2 years, all 435 members of the House of Representatives are up for reelection to be either rehired or fired. And then, you know, they always tell us that you follow the money. And also in the Constitution, it's Article 1, Section 7, Clause 1, states that all bills for raising revenues must originate in the House of Representatives. So you've got 435 members in the House, a majority's 218. And the 218, if they will say these bills are unconstitutional, we can't afford them, we don't need them, and we're not coming up with the money, then these bills will go absolutely nowhere. An example I love to give people, Mike, you're well aware of this, as of October 1 of this year, America's national debt now exceeds $27 trillion. Each year, annually, the United States Congress will give away about $50 billion a year in foreign aid. You could go to a 10-year-old kid in the fourth grade, and you could say, hey, we have a national debt exceeding $27 trillion a year. Should we be giving away $50 billion a year in foreign aid? And that 10-year-old kid in the fourth grade is going to say, heck no, you shouldn't do that. And, you know, as we know, it's also unconstitutional. So there, just with a majority of 218 in the House of Representatives, a vote of 218 in the House of Representatives, we could get them not to fund the money for foreign aid. And you know what? The Senate may not like it. The president may not like it. The federal court, Supreme Court may not like it. The media may not like it. But that's tough because the House of Representatives, they control the purse strings. So the distribution of that Freedom Index, especially informing people on how they're members of the House of Representatives, is so very, very important. Mike, I'm curious, do you and your chapter members have JBS Fairbus?
We have in the past. Obviously, the county fairs this year were very restricted in Ohio. The governor and the health director deemed it to be not friendly too friendly to the COVID virus. So we did not have fair booths this year. We had in the past, and we plan on next year. But going back to distributing the Freedom Index to our representatives, I think it's probably very important to all members that if you know that your representative is going to be, say, for example, a town hall meeting or a meeting somewhere, go see them, introduce yourself, and give them a Freedom Index too. We make sure that we give Jim Jordan one every time we see him, and they seem to like that. Or at least they seem to.
Yeah, and it's interesting. He has a very good constitutional voting record. This is Congressman Jim Jordan from Ohio 4. Now, you will run into members of the House of Representatives where their report card is not too good. It's maybe 10 or 20%. And you know what? Sometimes these members of the House of Representatives, they'll get mad at us for passing out those Freedom Indexes at their town hall meetings, and our response needs to be, hey, don't be mad at me. These are not my votes, Congressman. These are your votes.
Absolutely.
So, Are your chapter members also, Mike, able to work on the pending legislation aspect of the monthly John Birch Society bulletin?
Yes, absolutely. That's part of the homework every month. Probably all of them are included on the worksheet that I'll send out after the meeting. And that's just a reminder. Hey, here's our homework for the month. And pending legislation is always part of that.
That's good. You know, and it's interesting also, if a member of the House of Representatives receives 50 communications on one issue or one topic or one bill, and the 50 communications can be a combination of emails, letters, phone calls, telegrams, faxes, you name it. But if they're receiving, if you're a member of the House of Representatives and you're receiving 50 communications on one topic or issue, the message to you as a congressman is you better sit up and take notice. This is an important piece of legislation. So with our members, banging away on their members of the House of Representatives, if we can have 50 of our members communicating with their member of the House of Representatives just on one issue, it helps us get our constitutional agenda items on the radar screen of these members of the House of Representatives. So it really shows how influential members of the John Birch Society can be. And in the John Birch Society, we have a concept called the sphere of influence. And sphere of influence is a 1 to 10 to 100. Now, what I'm saying here is this. We have found over the years that one member of the John Birch Society will directly impact 10 other people. And then these 10 other people themselves will either directly or indirectly influence a total of 100 people. So you're very influential if you're a member of the John Birch Society and you'll work the John Birch Society's national program. We always encourage our members of the John Birch Society to engage in recruitment. You know, the old cliche is, if you don't grow, you die. And, you know, Mike, over the past couple years, your chapter has grown tremendously. Once again, I was at Mike's meeting last Thursday night. There was hardly enough room for any more people to enter Mike's living room. I encourage you, your chapter can engage in group recruitment presentations. Also, individual members of the JBS, we encourage you to give one-on-one presentations. An example of doing a one-on-one presentation is taking the DVD Overview of America, sitting down with the prospect for 30 minutes, reviewing this DVD Overview of America, and then at the end of it, simply ask your prospect to join the John Birch Society. Or for some reason, if you don't have access to a DVD player or a TV, you can simply get a brochure from the John Birch Society entitled The Heartbeat of the Americanist Cause, and you're simply opening up the brochures and you're opening up the pages and you're following the pictures and you're commenting on the pictures and the comments in this written brochure. It tells people all about the John Birch Society ideologically, organizationally, and what we're trying to do. And then at the end of the Heartbeat of the Americanist Cause brochure, simply ask your prospect to join the John Birch Society. Mike, our time is running close to running out. Do you have any final comments that you would like to make before we conclude?
No, Tom, I'm going to make it, it's pretty easy where I live, a very conservative type atmosphere, and our members are just terrific here. I think that also, as far as recruitment tools, sometimes I am in a place without the DVD player, so YouTube is excellent. The John Birch Society has graciously put a lot of the videos on YouTube and also from the JBS website. You can see the Overview of America, for example.
Yes.
I think we're living in a target-rich environment right now as far as recruitment, because it just the dichotomy in politics right now, I think that people will flock to the Constitution.
Yes, and we're finding that more and more people are actually seeking out the John Birch Society for solutions. And once we're able to get with these folks and show them that we have a viable program which does indeed offer constitutional solutions, they end up joining the John Birch Society. So, Mike, we want to thank you, Mike Borgner. We want to thank you very much for letting us pick your brain on what is working for your chapter in Northern Ohio, in Green Springs, Ohio. And you're doing an excellent job. Keep up the good work and keep punching. Thanks again, Mike.
Thank you, Tom, for the kind words. That, you know, when you have a terrific group of people to come to your meetings, it makes it a lot easier.
Indeed it does.
Thanks
again, Mike, for all you're doing.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to another episode of the Berkshire Podcast. You can find us on iTunes. Please share this episode if you're on iTunes or if you're listening to this on the Podomatic app. And give us a good rating, if you would. We're going to keep doing these episodes more and more as things pick up. And if you haven't heard previous episodes, please listen to more episodes on the Berkshire Podcast. Thanks, Mike, and thanks, Tom. And I hope you guys can be back on here again.
Thank you.
Thanks, Evan.